أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صف سیدھی فرمائیے اللہ اکبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله س سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الصلاة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر Inshallah, today will be the last session with Sheikh Dawood Aqeedah workshop. Alhamdulillah, we have been learning and enjoying and thoroughly, mashallah, enjoying these sessions. So today will be the last and the final session. Please remain seated after the remaining dua and listen to Sheikh. All his, alhamdulillah, sessions are there on our website, recorded. So if you want to go back and listen to them, please do so on E-Masjid or Masjid Nur Islam's website and try and refresh your memory. And as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. The one who does not show gratitude to people, most likely he will be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. For that, we just want to say a massive thank you and jazakumullahu khairan to Sheikh Dawood for taking time out for us and for our musallis, alhamdulillah, and delivering these beautiful sessions. Very, very informative. Alhamdulillah, everybody learns so much and they enjoy it so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly for all your hard work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah in your ilm, in your life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take more and more work from you for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As inshallah, akhri majlis hai Sheikh Dawood ke saath. آپ سے گزارش ہے کہ تشریف رکھیں اور زیادہ سے زیادہ فائدہ اٹھائیں. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وهب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة يا حي يا قيوم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله. تفضل بارك الله فيكم.
Put these on, I can't see anything now, just old people. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hamdan yuwafi ni'mahu yukafi mazida. Subhanaka la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. والصلاة والسلام على الأفضلان الأزكيان على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وعلماء أمته وعلينا معهم أجمعين. اللهم إنا نستهديك لأرشد أمرنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا. So alhamdulillah, ثم الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us for the past few weeks that He has chosen us to sit in His house after praying what He's made compulsory upon us, in a manner that is acceptable to Him, inshallah, and learn something of His deen. And any time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to do that, we do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we've mentioned many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if you are grateful, I will increase you. In shakartum la azidannakum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this ayah, azidannakum, there's emphasis there. So we do a little bit of shukr, Allah gives us much more than our shukr deserves. And it's important, what is shukr? What is being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama have told us that to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to use those blessings that you are grateful for in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has blessed us with eyes. So we use those eyes in obedience to Allah. That's shukr. It's not saying, thank you Allah. It's not saying, shukr ya Allah. It's you, true shukr is to use those eyes as Allah has commanded us to use them. Allah has given us an intellect. To do shukr for that intellect is to use it as Allah has commanded us to in a beneficial way. Allah has given us wealth. Shukr for that wealth is to spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the path of Allah means buying your wife clothes. That's wajib on the male, just for those women can hear at home. To clothe them, to house them, to feed them. That's the job of the man. Any money the woman's got, as we know, some of you might not like me after this darth, but any money the woman has, that's hers. The husband cannot touch it. The husband cannot touch it without her permission. It's upon him to provide for his family. And that starts with the wife. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِكُمْ. The best of you are the best of you to your wives. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And I'm best to my wives. And the Prophet ﷺ, as we know, when he passed away, he had 9 wives. Not one complaint. That's why if you want to know a man, ask his wife. If you want to know how pious he is, ask his wife. If she's a good wife. If she's not, she's always going to complain about him. May Allah bless us with good wives. And if they're not, may Allah make them good. And may Allah, more importantly for us, may Allah... Charity starts at home, bro. It's fard to spend on your wife.
Yes.
Just like it's fard to praise the cat. Jazakallah khairan for the reminder. It's fard to spend on one's wife. And anyone that doesn't spend on the wife and leaves her without food, without shelter, without clothes, he's sinful. Just like not paying zakat. Paying zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has linked it tens of times. The number, exact number escapes me right now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked salah with zakat. And that's why many books of fiqh, after the chapter of prayer, it'll come with the chapter of zakat. Because of the importance of those two. The salah, obviously, is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakat is between us and Allah. But that's what benefits the community. So as I was saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it fard on us for these things. And our shukr is to use it in the correct manner. Whether it be wealth, whether it be blessings of the body. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Our children are an amanah. And that amana will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. How did you educate them? How did you connect them to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did you provide for them in regards to dini education? And it's not just enough to rely on Molisab in Maktab. That is a beautiful thing that's offered in these masajid. However, if they go to the Mawlana, and they learn about the deen, but when they come home, it's all PlayStation, Xbox, television, football, which I'm going to come to in a moment, don't you worry. Then they're seeing one thing, they're being told one thing, and they're seeing another thing. And that's why children, they can grow confused. Because they're told one thing, but they see others from Muslims. They're told rights of parents. You must obey your father. You must respect your mother. You must do this. But they're shown no respect in the house. Do they not have rights? This is the importance, this is what we're talking about, the importance of knowing our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The importance of knowing our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he teaches us how to be with everyone that we have contact with. How to be a good son. How to be a good father. How to be a good neighbor. Right? The Sahaba said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to admonish us and advise us about the neighbor until we feared that they're going to be inheriting from us. When was the last time you asked about your neighbor? And neighbor, some of them say 40 houses each way. So this is our deen. And as I started at the very first lesson when we talked about the hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, our deen is complete, even if we are not. And these lessons, these gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to sit here for these last few weeks, and you've listened to this gora waffle on at the front. Inshallah, our intentions were for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, this should be, you know, a start of something, not the end. Like I said, mashallah, you've got Mufti Salih, who is an ocean of knowledge. I'll tell you something about him, inshallah, you won't mind me saying it. Years ago, I know he studied in Medina Munawwara. So I asked him, why did you go to Medina? You know, some issues in Medina. We won't get into those kind of things, but there's some issues with some people over there. You know what he said to me? And this is why I love him with all my heart. I'll never forget. He said, they don't give you a visa just to sit next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's your imam. Look at his heart. Huh? They don't give you a visa just to sit next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us a visa to sit next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Visas come from Allah. Forget the government. Right? Even though they treat us like dhimmis. Those that understand what dhimmi means will understand that joke. But anyway, alhamdulillah. So, we do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's blessed us, and we can make it nafil i'tikaf. Everybody should make the intention. Nawaitul i'tikaf, madimtu fi hadha al-masjid. That we've made intention. So we're getting rewards upon rewards upon rewards. So yesterday we spoke a little bit about the lineage of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who memorized it from yesterday? Huh? Hamza? One second. Anybody? من حفظ نسب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Inshallah. Huh? Make intention. An easy way to do it is every night when you finish your wird before you go to sleep. And we all should have a wird. They say in Arabic, "Man laysa lahu wird, fahu qird." Those that understand Arabic are laughing. Those that don't, I'll explain. Whoever doesn't have a litany of dhikr that they do daily is a monkey, is an ape. "Man laysa lahu wird, fahu qird." Okay? That's what the ulama said. Just to encourage us, none of us are, a'udhu billah, of that nature, inshallah. But every night we should have some dhikr that we do. And once I said, Afwan.
Yesterday night I was looking.
Tamam, yalla, tafadda.
Anam barak with Badr
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لما وصلت
إلى
نسب رقم 21 لقيت أنه في التقاء ما بينه وبين سيدنا إسماعيل في النسب.
أيوة وصل هو وصل إلى سيدنا إسماعيل لكن إلى سيدنا أدنان رضي الله تعالى عنه هذا ثابت بلا شك. ثم بعده قال يعني لا نعلم بالضبط يوجد لكن بلا شك ولا ريب هو النسب هو يصل إلى سيدنا إسماعيل ابن سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام وحتى إلى سيدنا آدم عليه السلام يوجد يعني في كتب المطولات يوجد لكن هذا غير ثابت.
يقولوا على انه في علاقه ما بينه وبين علاقه قويه بتاعت النسب السيره مع القرار
طبعا النسب لكن النسب يصل الى سيدنا ابراهيم بلا شك ولا ريب. يعني the sheikh's asking, he's reading about the nasab sharif and he was asking that some people say about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail. There's no doubt, as he mentions here in the book, that it goes, there's no doubt he goes back to Sayyidina Ismail, to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, and all the way back to Adam alayhi salam. And in the longer books of seerah, they mention everybody in the chain. However, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, up until Sayyidina Adnan, it's thabit, that's established. After that, there's lots of differences, and Allahu A'lam, but it definitely goes back to Sayyidina Ismail, alayhi salam, even the son of Sayyidina Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Now, so, in some of the books, like I said, they've mentioned more detail about the nasab of the Prophet. And notice one thing. This is a book of basic aqidah, as we've read. But Sayyidina Imam Bajuri and others, not just him, saw it fitting to mention the nasab of the lineage of the Prophet at the end of the book. To highlight to us the importance of him. We've talked about yesterday, we talked about those attributes that are necessary or impossible and possible for our prophets and for all the prophets, alayhi wassalatu wassalam. So after doing that, correcting our thinking, he's then telling us, Imam Bajuri, get to know your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Get to know your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what I always tell people, that fall in love with him. And the only way to fall in love with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is to know him. And the ulama, my Sheikh Muhammad Muwaffaq al-Marabi, hafidhullah ta'ala wa afahu, he says that we should be reading, number one, seerah. In any language that's easy for you, right? Nowadays, mashallah, there's many things in English that are available. Check before you read it though. Check the book, check the author before you read anything. But seerah. Every year you should aim to do a khatam of seerah, to finish a book of seerah. Even if you're reading the same one again. Because you'll never grow bored of it. So if it's a good one. And it's in good, whichever language you're reading. And there are really good ones available. So the first thing, we should be reading seerah all year round. And aim to be reading it constantly. The second is shama'il. Yani the character and physical traits of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, so many things nowadays available in English. Ask Hamza, when we first became Muslim, mashallah, he became Muslim before I did, mashallah. He was the sabiqun as-sabiqun. Right? How we struggled in those late 90s to find anything to read. And we'd jump in cars and travel the length of the country just to go and listen to an English talk. Sometimes with lunatics, right? The people that were talking we should have been listening to, but anyway. We didn't know. Why? We were thirsty for knowledge. We were thirsty to understand our deen. And the late 90s, most of the masajid, it was Urdu or do one. Right? Nothing wrong with Urdu. It's just that we didn't understand it. Now, so much available. So much available. In literature, and also, mashallah, look, they got this Gora talking at the front in full English. Yani, that would never have happened towards the in the 90s, right? So the first the ulama mentioned, so we can know our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to read seerah. The second, the shama'il, yani those physical description and the character traits of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's many books written now as well. There's obviously Sheikh Yusuf Kandahlawi radiallahu anhu, there's actually been a decent translation of his commentary on the shama'il, which is a horrible translation, which most of us have read, I think, and have in our homes. But there's now recently they've retranslated it, and as far as I'm aware, it's much better English. That is a brilliant one to read. That is a brilliant one to read. And there are others also now in English. Sheikh Abdul Majid al-Sharnubi, he has a commentary, and that has also been translated into English on an abbreviated, an abridged version of the Shema'il. That's also available in English. So that's the second. Sirah, the first, Shema'il, yani those physical traits and character traits of our Prophet ﷺ. And the ulama, just before I move on, they focused on that a lot. To the point where if you closed your eyes, you could picture our Prophet ﷺ. It's haram to draw him. But if you closed your eyes, you could see him. And some of the ulama, some of the awliya, they make that a wird. That after doing salawat, or whilst doing salawat, you close your eyes and you picture him, ﷺ. Right, like my Hazrat, rahimahullah ta'ala, what do we do with the maraqabah? He used to say, focus on your heart, that nur is coming into your heart. He said, you'll start imagining it. I remember my Hazrat mentioned it. All of you that sat with Hazrat know this. And all his khalifas, right? Sufi sahab, Mawlana Fadli Haq, etc. Allah increase them and bless them. You'll start with just imagining it. But you'll train, and Allah will open to you until it becomes a reality. And many, some of us, when it was Ramadan, you know, when we didn't know, we'd know by Hazrat's Allah at Maghrib. Sometimes, it's definitely Ramadan. We don't need to know about the moon, right? So those things. Then when you, but how can you imagine your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if you don't know what he looks like? How can you imagine him if you don't know what he looks like? And may Allah bless us to see him in our dreams. And see him in a waking state also. And that's not hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shama'il is very important. Then the third thing we should read in regards to getting to know our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are his miracles. His mu'jizat. The greatest miracle obviously is the Qur'an. And we should know the Qur'an. And mashallah, you're blessed in this masjid now that you have tafsir in both Urdu and English. I noticed, and you have someone correcting your tajweed also. Take advantage of this. I see it's just young people. I've heard some of you old people recite Quran. Trust me, you need it more than the youth. Okay, go and sit and get your pronunciation of the Quran fixed. In Sham, my teacher Sheikh Samir al-Nas, hafizullah ta'ala, he no longer sits, he's too old and very weak. May Allah give him afia. I saw 70-year-old men wait for an hour to recite 5 minutes of Quran on him in the masjid to correct their tajweed. It never stops. And mashallah, you've got once a week, that was every day except Saturdays. Sheikh Samir and others, Sheikh Adnan, Sheikh Anas, so many of the mashaykh, they'd sit every day to correct people's tajweed and people would just queue up. Sheikh Samir used to have a little daftar, a little notebook. That you had to come before Fajr, you have 7 or 7:30 was the cutoff time for putting your notebook down. After that, it's cut off. The Russians don't sleep, always. Dagestanis and Uzbekis, no matter how early I got there, there seemed to be 20 Uzbekis before me. But anyway, you put your book down, you pray your Fajr, then I used to go to a dars with Sheikh Hassan al-Hindi in a masjid behind the masjid that Sheikh Samba would teach in. Then I'd come back and I'd still be waiting for an hour. So you'd sit and you'd wait. And then he had a khadim that would come and take all the books and put them out in order. And then when it come to your turn, you'd take your book, give it to the sheikh, he'd see where you're up to, you'd recite to him, whatever. If you were hafiz, then you'd already done juz amma, you'd recite one page. And then you go, and then you come back the next day and do the same thing. Every day except Saturday. Saturday, this is for you ulama to know, on Saturday he'd have a reading for 3 hours of the hashiyah of Ibn Abidin. Every Saturday. So you do a khatam of the hashiyah with him as well on Saturdays. Huh? They read it from cover to cover, inshallah. Okay? So you're blessed that at least you've got once a week to correct your tajweed. Now to correct your pronunciation of the Qur'an, and that's fard. To recite the Qur'an correctly is fard. So, reading about his miracles. And again, mashallah, there are many books available in English. Eventually, it's the last book on my list to translate. Sheikh Muwaffaq, my sheikh, he has a book of where he's gathered all the many of the miracles of the Prophet in a short book. That's my last book that I'll have to translate of his, inshallah. The others are on the way, don't worry. So the miracles. And then the final one that Sheikh recommends for us to read. So what's the first one? Seerah. The second one? Shama'il. Third one? Miracles, the Mu'jizat. The fourth one is the Khasa'is. The special things regarding our Prophet ﷺ that were only for him. And again, there are books available now in English. There's a number of books. Imam Suyuti has Khasa'is al-Sughra and Khasa'is al-Kubra. The big book of specific things of the Prophet ﷺ and the smaller book. Both are translated as far as I know. I know Sughra is definitely translated and I think Kubra has been recently translated into English. So reading about our Prophet ﷺ and those things that are unique to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These four things, we should be constantly reading about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Constantly. And read it with the children. Right? Read it even just to explain it or talk about it with the children. I think I've mentioned already in one of the lessons that I've been here, when I ask one of Hazrat's sons, what did he do to make you guys, mashallah, we know Hazrat's children, mashallah, Allah bless them and protect them. He said he was always making dua, and he would read to us about the awliya. All of any karama or miraculous thing for wali comes from our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's the source. So read about the source and then move to the Sahaba, then the Tabi'een, then the Tabi Tabi'een. Most of us in this masjid, most, not all, are Hanafis. How many of you have read a book about Imam Abu Hanifa and who he was? Not many, right? How many of you read Seerah? Those start at the top. How many have read a full book of Seerah? Hands up. I want a show of hands just to... Bismillah. Don't be shy. I told you yesterday. Two people don't learn. A shy person and a haughty person. Hands up who's read a full book of Seerah. Okay, you showing off. For those of you that haven't put your hands up out of shyness, because I know you've all read Marshall. You're all awliya. Rectify it. Start. And if I was to ask how many times and how many books and how many pages, for those that put your hands up thinking you big man things, right? Then we'll see, right? That's our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many has read about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the greatest man created after the prophets? Mashallah, mashallah. How many of you others have read a full book? I'm not talking like a few pages or some post, right? On Sayyidina Abu Bakr. There's so much available. How many of you read about Sayyidina Umar? MashaAllah. Look at the hands again, less and less. What about Sayyidina Uthman? Radiallahu an. Sayyidina Ali? Radiallahu an. Sayyidina Hassan wa Hussein? Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf? Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas? Right, shall we go through the 10 Mubashirin bil Jannah? The World Cup starting, right? I'm not going to give fatwa on watching football or anything like that because I know most of the Mawlanas that sit in this masjid and the other masajid are going to be watching the World Cup. Okay, so there's no fatwas from me. But I will warn every one of us, including myself. I won't be watching because I don't care. Unless Iran wins, then it'd be really funny. But anyway.
Sheikh Hamza and Ibrahim Khawatim, who is a
طبعا طبعا الله ما يختمنا بالحسنى.
سعد بن معاذ، سعد بن
ابي وقاص رضي الله عنه،
سعد بن معاذ
تمام، سيدنا سعد، سيدنا سعد نعم نعم.
سبحان الله
الحمد لله، الله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. So back to football. Again, no fatwas about watching it or not watching it. I'll leave that between you and your muftis. What I would say is, don't let it delay you on the prayer. Don't let it keep you from the masajid for the jama'ah. Right? Don't let it distract you from the prayer. Let me tell you something about myself from a long time ago. This is before I went to study, so you have to forgive me. Who remembers when Man United won the treble? I remember. So that was early 2000s, right? 99. I became Muslim in 98, so you'll have to forgive me, right? Because I was watching it. They were 3-0 down, right? I think they were 3-0 down in one of the games, and I came for Maghrib. I left, alhamdulillah, because of my teachers, like Mufti Saleh, like Sidna Hazrat Rahimullah. I left watching it and I went to pray Maghrib. They were 3-0 down. I thought, we've lost it anyway. What's the point? I came out after praying Maghrib and they told me they'd won. I was like, huh? But my point is, I'm not saying this as a point, that don't... He's trying to work out which game it was. Easy now, bro. That's not the point of the story. The point is that don't let it delay you from the prayer. Right? Who cares that who wins, right? And I've played football with some Molanas, right? And I will be there. And some Muslims. Let's not just restrict it to Molanas. We don't disrespect the ulama. They are the awliya. Allah bless them always. But I've played football with some Muslims from Blackburn, let's say. Winning the football game is not going to get you to Jannah. But having good akhlaq on the football pitch can help you get to Jannah. Let it cross me, it didn't cross the line. It's like, what? Good akhlaq will help you get to Jannah. Cheating on the football pitch definitely won't. Or getting angry, like, you know, win 3-0 and it's guaranteed Jannah. You're from the Mubashareen. So football's coming. It's not coming home, trust me, because it doesn't live here. But anyway, the point is that don't let it delay you from the prayer. Don't let it delay you from the masjid in jama'ah, right? Don't let it take over everything else. Don't let it make you neglect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard or wajib, or the Prophet has made sunnah on you. Okay? So coming back. So the four things we're going to read about the Prophet, all of us. First, seerah, right? Read and read and read. There's so many good books now. And some voluminous. There's one I'm reading just as my reading, because when I don't want to think too much, meaning not study, there's a 3-volume one. I can't remember what it's called. Siratul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Siratul Mustafa, jazakallahu khairan. 3 volumes, right? With the... MashaAllah. There's a mukhtasar of it as well, for those of you that get scared of 3 volumes. There's a bridge version of it as well. It's just 1 volume. But that's a brilliant book. Very technical as well. It's very nice. So the first is seerah. The second, we said shama'il. Learn about what he looked like, right? And try and imitate him the best you can. Right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially in his character as well. The third, the miracles of the Prophet, right? We should, most of us can name 5 or 6 or 10. There are hundreds, if not thousands. Right? Let's read about them. And then the final one, the khasa'is, those specific things that were related to our Prophet only. And again, all of these are available in different languages, especially in English for those that speak in only English. So, the point of all of that was Imam Al-Bajuri brought at the end of this book of Aqidah the lineage of our Prophet to highlight that we should know him and to highlight that he's known. Right? If you want to know about a seerah book, I think it's 21 volume seerah book. 21 volumes. It goes into other than seerah, like Shama'il and things like that, but it's 21 volumes. Sheikh Samir again. In Sham, they would teach these things in the book. There's a 3-volume book, Mawahib al-Dunniyya, which he would teach that every later to Jumu'ah, every Thursday night. He would teach that in the masjid for everyone to attend. Some of it's on YouTube, it's in Arabic obviously, but some of it's, the seerah part's not when it got to the names of the Prophet or something. That's another science that we should learn. Right? Learn about the names of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told us in hadith that he has names, and the ulama have gathered others. For those of you who attended some of my things last time I came, the Dalail Khairat mentions over 200 names of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are books, again, translated into English that go into these names and explain some of the understandings of these names. So, Imam Bajuri, rahimullah ta'ala. So none of you memorized the lineage? Have you done it? Still got it? Yallah. Just the reason I'm going to pick on him to do it is to encourage everybody else. Okay? He can be the example, as long as he gets it all right, inshallah. Otherwise, where's his dad? Knock him out. Yalla, bismillah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. He deserves a treat. MashaAllah. I'm not giving it in. Not right now, anyway. Alhamdulillah. And we should get our children to memorize this. Like I said, oh, that's what I started with. I went on my tangent. Your wird at night. So we started talking about words and kids, and then I got lost. So your when you finish your litany at night, and that's what I went to, we should have a portion of the Qur'an that we read before we go to sleep. Even if it's Surah Al-Mulk, 30 ayahs. A portion of the Qur'an before you go to sleep, read that. It facilitates you waking up for tahajjud or if it wakes you up for fajr. Obviously nowadays, you fall asleep, it's fajr time. Yani, subhanAllah, especially if you're praying at the proper times. But, don't get me started on that one. But yeah, so it facilitates those things and you go into the protection of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So after that, just have it written next to you, the nasab. And make it the last thing you read before after you finish your word, your litany. So you're just reading it. Depending on your brain, after a few months, a few years, whatever, you'll have memorized it without even trying. Okay? And like I said, the ulama have encouraged that. As I touched upon yesterday, that all of the Prophet ﷺ's lineage were pure. And the Prophet ﷺ described them as being pure. And so the ulama have given that the correct opinion according to Ahl Sunnah, there are differences of opinion, but the correct, and I have avoided always mentioning difference of opinion if you've noticed when we've been sat here, because we're not here for that. But just so people don't argue and say, oh, there's this, there's that, the correct opinion according to all of my teachers and many of the ulama is that all of the Prophet's lineage were believers in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ described them as being pure. And the Quran says that the mushriks are not pure, najas. And so all of the Prophet ﷺ's lineage, all the way back to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, were of the believers in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentions that, and beyond him, to Adam, there is no sound chain of narration, Adam alayhi salam. As for his lineage from his mother's side, he is our master Muhammad ibn Amina bint Wahab, read it in English, son of Abd Manaf, son of Zuhra, son of Kilab. Then she joins him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at his forefather Kilab. So the if you notice Abd al-Manaf, there's Abd al-Manaf from the father's side and Abd al-Manaf from the mother's side. They're different. They're two different people. They're two different Abd al-Manafs. They join in their lineage back to Sayyidina Kilab, which, as you know, literally means dog, right? And the Arabs traditionally would give their sons names to scare the enemies. And they would give their slaves in the homes names because they were amongst the family. So, Kilab was his nickname, just so we know. The ulama, they mentioned that his name was Hakim. His actual name was Hakim. But he was nicknamed Kilab. Some, they differ as to why. Some say because he hunted a lot. Some say because of his fierceness of him. And other opinions, but his actual name was Hakim. So just so you know that when we see Kilab, means dogs, the Arabs would give them that name, right? Well, like Hamza. What does Hamza mean? He's a lion, right? A ferocious lion. Qadamfar, another word for lion, right? Etc., etc. So the joining of his mother's and his father's lineage goes back to Sayyidina Kilab. It is also necessary to know that he has a hawd, a reservoir, or some have translated it as a basin, which is more common translation, although here it's translated as a reservoir. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will intercede in the final judgment, and this specific intercession, shafa'ah, is unique to him. And this is what they call shafa'atul kubra, where the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will intercede for the whole of humanity. Why? The whole of creation, in fact, because the jinn are there as well. That when everybody's raised, on that day, everybody will run to the prophets. The hadith is well known. They will run to Sayyidina Adam, alayhi salam. They will run to Sayyidina Ibrahim, alayhi salam. They will run to Sayyidina Musa. They will run to Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam. And all of them, the prophets, will make excuses. Then they will come to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will say, ana laha, ana laha. This is for me, this is for me. And he will prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise him with words that Allah will inspire him to praise. And then he will ask Allah to start the judgment. I want to draw your attention to something. Why is our Prophet ﷺ telling us this? Because he cares about his ummah. So we won't go to Sayyidina Adam. Because he's told us they're not going to do anything. We won't go to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because we know he won't be able to do anything. That's not for him meaning. We won't go to Sayyidina Musa. We won't go to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Because the Prophet ﷺ has told us that they won't, that's not for them. So for his ummah, where do we go? Straight to him. Straight to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's told us this. That is why he told us his ummah. Because he's always looking out for us. Even then, he's thinking about us. Straight to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to our beloved when he prostrates on that day? What will he say? He told us. After he prostrates and praises Allah and he says, Ummati, Ummati. It'll be said, Ya Muhammad, Irfa' ratsak. O Muhammad, raise your head. Sal wa tu'ta. Ask and you'll be given. Washfa' tushaffa'. Intercede and your intercession will be granted. And so he'll raise his head and he'll intercede for the starting of the judgment also. That's our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And when the reckoning starts, there are those that nothing of the fear of that reckoning will affect them. May Allah make us of those, Ya Rabb. They are first and foremost the prophets, the awliya and the ulama of this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَحْزِنْهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرُ, that the supreme horror will not grieve them. May Allah make us of those. May Allah make us of those. May Allah make us of those. Allah. Obviously, as he mentioned here, that this specific intercession is unique to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are others that are granted intercession. There are others that are granted intercession on that day. Of them are the memorizers of the Quran. May Allah make us of those. Qul ameen. May Allah ruh. The memorizer of the Quran will intercede for their family. Of them are those children that were stillborn. They'll intercede for their families. As he mentions in the footnote, right? And then the ulama and the Prophet ﷺ himself. And the Shamis, they have a beautiful, not just the Shamis, but the Shamis have a saying, those from Syria, they say, "An-naji ya'khudhu bi-yadi akhihi yawm al-qiyamah." The one who is saved on that day takes his brother by the hand with him. So I ask you, if you see me on the day of judgment, take me by my hand into Jannah with you. That should be a pact, that they say it's a pact between us. That the one that, both ways, bro, both ways, don't worry. But I know that you're going to be taking my hand, don't I? That the one that is saved takes his brother by the hand, and that's granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't forget me, yeah? My name's Dawood. Allah yahfazukum. هذا من حسن ظنك يا حبيبي لكن الحقيقة أنت أنجد أيضا. Then he says, it is also necessary to know the messengers explicitly mentioned in the Quran, and they're 25. And again, there are poems here, mashallah, he's made it a bit poetry there for people to memorize it in English. He's changed the Arabic, and he says in the footnote why he did so, but to facilitate memorizing it in English. For those of you that know Arabic, Aqidatul Awam, which is a poem that they're memorized in Yemen, Hadramaut, and it's got commentaries on it, that's good to memorize for your children if you're going to teach them Arabic from the, because it's part of the poem that they memorize the names of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's necessary, it's wajib that we know them. Even if we don't memorize their names, this is why some people, if they don't study with teachers, they misunderstand what the ulama mean when they say it's necessary to know. Meaning, if someone was to say to you, is Lut alayhi salam a prophet from the Quran? You say, yeah, of course he is. Okay? So it's not that you have to verbatim, although that's better. But it's not like you have to verbatim memorize their names. That's better. But it's that if you were asked, is so-and-so, like Sayyidina Adam, for example, Sayyidina Ibrahim, alayhi salam, for example, are they prophets in the Quran? You say yes. So he says, as for the others, it is necessary to know them in general, meaning to accept that there are other prophets than these 25 prophets mentioned. And, you know, some have put a number on it, but those narrations that mention numbers are what's called ahad, they're singular narrations. So we don't say that there's 124,000. We say approximately. Okay, we say approximately. So that we're not, if there's more, we're not missing some. And if there's less, we're not adding some. So we say approximately there's 124,000 prophets. These 25 we must know. He says someone has versified the prophets that are specific, and he made the names of the prophets specifically necessary to know, and then he's written them in English, right? And again, if you read the Arabic, which is on the next page, which you don't have to read, don't worry. They've done it in a different kind of way, based on numbering and letterings in the Arabic. So he's done it in English to make it easy for us. So we'll read them, because by mentioning the names of the righteous, blessings descend upon us. And so who's more righteous than the source of all righteousness, which is the prophets? So we got Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salam. Then he's put handsome Yusuf alayhi salam, patient Ayyub alayhi salam, Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam, and don't forget Harun alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Al-Yasa' alayhi salam, Dhul Kifl alayhi salam, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ilyas alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Rasuluna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we know, he is the seal of all prophets. He is the last prophet to be sent. And for this lesson, I'll leave it there. But he's the last prophet to be sent, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He's the seal. Anybody that says there's a prophet after him has left Islam. And we know there's a specific group that was created by the British that claim such nonsense. But we have to teach our children what that means. And we have to teach them what the role of a prophet and a messenger is. Because some of us send our children to non-Muslim schools. And they're told things that are against, number one, against truth. And number two, because our deen is truth, it's against our deen. And so we must equip them with correct knowledge, right? And these kind of books, even though this book is a little bit beyond a child's level, although you've seen my son, and he asked me loads of questions when we get home. My son Omar, he's 9 years old. And I purposely bring him, even though he's disappeared right now, I think he's gone to make wudu. But I purposely bring him so at least he's hearing these things now at 9 years old. Right? He's hearing them. So he'll ask me questions. But then he'll say, oh, what about this and what about that? Promoting that knowledge in the children. Right? Promoting that. And this is, mashallah, you have many good books in the maktab for the children. But these specifically in Turkish, for example, he goes to a Turkish madrasa for hibs and for the dini things. They have books that are in Turkish that mention similar to what we've read here for his age. A bit less detailed. They'll list the sifat, for example, and they have their Hanafi, Maturidi, and most of them are Naqshbandi in Tariqa, the school he goes to. And so they'll list these things. So he'll just memorize them as something to memorize. These are the attributes of Allah. Then as you progress and they get older, they'll read another book that starts giving a bit more details. Right? Just like children that learn maths, right? We start by them counting to 10. Right? If you start bringing out algebra, x plus y equals whatever, You don't do that. So similarly with any science, you start just counting to 10. Let's use that as a metaphor. Right? And then you move forward. So these things are important. So he says then, what was the thing before it? Anyway, so these prophets, والسلام, the 25 that are mentioned in the Quran, which again, also, read about who they are. Read about the people that they were sent to and how their people treat them. And one of the amazing things you'll notice about our Prophet, who is the only universal prophet, meaning he was sent to everyone, other prophets were sent to their people. Our Prophet is sent to everyone until the end, until the day of judgment. But one of the amazing things that you see is that when you read about the kufr, the disbelief and the evil that each ummah would do with their prophets, we find all of that in our times. Every sin. Some peoples were known for a certain thing and they were destroyed for it. Qawmi Lut. Right? Especially in our times. They were destroyed for it. You know, the imbalance in trade, you know, the ghish in the what's ghish? The cheating in the weighing scales and this and that, right? Usury, riba. In our times, all of that is promoted. And if you stand against it, you're a weirdo. Right? Tuba lil ghuraba. I like to translate that as glad tidings to the weirdos. Right? Ghuraba literally means strange, right? Gharib, strange. Ghuraba is plural, meaning the strange people, like strangers, they're not known. In our times, weirdo. Feels good to be a weirdo. So it's important to read about those prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us pictures for any glimpses into certain aspects of their lives and their da'wah for the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to convey to us. But mashallah, there are many ulama that have written about in order the lives of the prophets. Read about them. So we know who they are. So after that, Imam Bajuri mentions, it is also necessary to believe that his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generation is the best of generations. Then the one after it, then the one after that. Right? What did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Different wordings, but khayrul quruni qarni. The best of generations is mine. Thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. There's different wordings, but that's one wording. Then those that come after, then those that come after. And so, we shouldn't let other people dictate to us what is the golden age of Islam. Right? It's not when Islam was at its peak in worldly pursuits and inventions and these kind of things. That's a good thing. But that's not the golden age of Islam for us, for Muslims. Might be for them if they're, because they're looking at it from a worldly perspective. The golden age of Islam was the time of our Prophet ﷺ with the Sahaba. There's nothing better than that time, because our Prophet ﷺ has told us so. Our Prophet ﷺ said it's the best of generations. And they didn't have iPhones. And they didn't have BYD, build your dream cars. Right? The Prophet's masjid, most of it didn't even have a roof. The Prophet's masjid never had a carpet. The Prophet's masjid didn't have a place to make wudu with running water and hot water and towels and mashallah. But that was the best of times. And that's for another day. Why was that the best of times? Obviously, the Prophet's. But what makes it also the best of times? So he said it's necessary for us to know that. Then the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, and the Sahaba passed on this deen to the Tabi'in. Of the Tabi'in is Sayyidina Imam Abi Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was a tabi', meaning he met Sahaba. And that's unanimous. He met Sahaba. And so, shall I mention it? Yeah, let's mention it. It's my last lesson anyway, so you don't have to invite me back. Those people that claim this ya of nisbah, right? That I am linked to the Salaf. The Hanafis have more right to claim that. Because Imam Abu Hanifa was from the Salaf. Right? And Imam Malik was from the Tabi'in. And Imam Malik taught Imam Shafi'i. And Imam Shafi'i taught Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And Imam Muhammad taught Imam Shafi'i. The main student, one of the main students of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Muhammad. And in our books, it even mentions that Imam Muhammad married the mother of Imam Shafi'i. It's in the Hashia at the beginning. And he gave him all of his books. Whether that's Thabit or not, we will claim it as Hanafis, we'll claim it. But whether that part, where he's definitely Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, studied with Imam Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad studied with Imam Malik. That's why the Malikis, they get angry at us because we have the Muwatta of Imam Muhammad, which is basically the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Imam Muhammad took it from him and added narrations from himself, which are in conformity with the Hanafi madhab. And this has been translated. Right? These are beautiful things. Know your deen. So they're the best of generations. And our way of practicing the deen, the four madhabs, and this what we've been studying in Aqidah and Tasawwuf, is from those generations. And so we should have that knowledge and certainty that we're following the path of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't let people cast doubt into your hearts with words like, I say Qala Rasul, I say the Prophet ﷺ said, and you say Imam Abu Hanifa said. Oh, you must be wrong then. Again, we're not going to get into differences of opinion too much. Well, it's my last lesson, so. The point here is not to cause confusion. The point here is to make us steadfast. Know that your worship, know that your practice, if you've taken it from these teachers, is valid in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that. Know that. And be confident in that. And don't let people cast doubt into your heart. So he says, it is also necessary to believe that his generation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best of generations. Then the one after it, then the one after it. He says, an individual should know his children, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are according to the sound position, our master Al-Qasim. And as we know, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called what? Abu Al-Qasim. His kunya, his nickname was Abu Al-Qasim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then our lady Zainab, yani Sayyidina Zainab, radiallahu anha. Then Sayyidina Ruqayya, radiallahu anha. Then Sayyidina Fatima. Then our lady Umm Kulthum. And it's rare, Umm Kulthum, as many of you know in the Arabic language, it's the mother of, right? Like Abu Fulan, Abu Bakr, right? The father of. Many of the ulama say that what was her actual name? Because Umm Kulthum is kind of like, you know, it's a kunya. In some books, and for those that need the reference, you can ask me after. In some books, it mentions that the name, the actual name of Umm Kulthum was Amina, after her grandmother. Okay? Some books, if you want the reference, ask me after. I've got it in my pocket. It's in my phone. Okay? But some have said that her actual name was Amina, radiallahu anha. He says, then our master Abdullah, who was nicknamed, yani again, some of his names were At-Tayyib and At-Tahir, right? The pure, the good and the pure. And that's why when he says according to the sound opinion, position, what does he mean by that? Some have mistakenly said al-tayyib and al-tahir were other sons. That's an incorrect opinion. Then, the final is Sayyidina Ibrahim, radiallahu anhu. All of them are from Our Lady Khadija, Khadija al-Kubra, radiallahu anha, except for Sayyidina Ibrahim, who was from al-Mariya al-Qibtiyya, Mariya the Copt in English. Again, we should read more about these things, but we're running out of time. He says, in closing, this is the end of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated through His bounty and generosity. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the world, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's salawat and peace be upon our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. It is also, in closing, this ummah, the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, is the greatest of ummas, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. But what makes it great? First and foremost, it's that link to him, ﷺ. We have believed in him. Secondly, is that we enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And in order to enjoin good and forbid evil, we must learn what is good and what is evil from the ulama. We must sit with the ulama and learn. We must sit with the ulama and learn. And if we're not enjoining the good in our homes, in a beautiful manner, the Prophet also mentioned that gentleness is from the characteristics of a believer. That lutf, that gentleness is from the character. So if you're going to enjoying good in your home, whether it's your children or your spouse or whatnot, gentleness. First, it's gentleness. And so enjoying good, it's not shouting at people, it's not beating people, right? It's enjoying good, telling people to do good in a beautiful manner. Because we're living in times where people, you can frown at them, you might never see them in the masjid again, as I mentioned previously. You can say a harsh word to someone and they might not come to the masjid again. That doesn't mean what them running away from the masjid is right. It's not an excuse. However, we have to be careful in our times because people are sensitive. Right? We're living in that in a sensitive age where everybody's sensitive and in their feelings, as it said in modern days. Right? But we have to cater for that. We're Muslims. We have to have wisdom in how we call people to this deen, how we enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And so to be the best of nations, the best of ummahs, is to be like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he wouldn't even call out people. مَا بَالُ قَوْمٍ. So people were doing wrong, he wouldn't name. On the most part, he wouldn't name. مَا بَالُ قَوْمٍ. What's wrong with some people that do so and so? Right? مَا بَالُ قَوْمٍ يُقِفُونَ سَيَّرَاتِهِمْ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. Right? Those that understand Arabic know what I just said. What's wrong with those people that stop their cars in the middle of the road? Right? In خطوط الصفراء, on yellow lines. Right? That's not a hadith, just in case anyone gets confused. That's from Dawood. That's from Dawood. Astaghfirullah. Okay? But what's wrong with people that throw their dirt in the street? What's wrong with people that throw their rice in the street? What's wrong with people that swear at each other in the street? What's wrong with people that don't say please and thank you in the shops and in these areas? What's wrong with people that don't smile at each other? All of these things is from our deen. What's wrong? What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Afshu salam wa at'im at-ta'am. Spread peace. And he gives salam to everyone. My children, do you know them? No. They're Muslim. Huh? How many times did they ask me? Do you know that person? No. You gave him salams and he had a 25-minute conversation with them. Yeah, he's Muslim. Wa at'im at-ta'am. And feed the people. Prophet Sallallahu's command, give salam and feed people. All right. Well, I just went to Blackburn Town Centre today. There is no Blackburn Town Centre. You guys have progressively got used to it. I haven't been here for years. There's no Blackburn Town Centre, which means people are struggling because there's nothing here. Yet, mashallah, you come to Audley, so many shops. PK Foods, mashallah. Right? You go to Worley Range, mashallah. Shops are full, bustling. Alhamdulillah. At'im at-ta'am. People are getting jealous because they don't know. Feed the people. Like I said the other day, what Muhammad Kathrad is doing up on the street here, giving out that food. So much da'wah there. Imagine if that was on a communal level. On a communal level. I'm just smiling at people. How are you? Are you okay? How's your day? So, inshallah, we'll stop there for today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what we've read and forgive any mistakes from the reader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge of Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that give victory to His sunnah in this land and in our lives and in our homes, in ourselves, in our spouses, in our children, in our relatives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a good ending and we die in iman when He is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate all of the problems of the Ummah, whether it be in Palestine, whether it be in Sudan, whether it be in China, whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Lebanon, whether it be, I could name all the Muslim countries because all the Muslim countries are going through problems. And I will ask Allah to protect the Muslims that live outside of Muslim lands. Ask Allah to protect the Muslims that live outside Muslim lands. Because this is a warning for all of us. They are making dua against the lands that are oppressing them. And the dua of the mazloom is mustajab, it's answered. So Allah protect us from those duas and make it fall on the people that are the zalimeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that raise the oppression, whoever it may be on. And Allah protect us from being oppressors. All of us think of oppressors as those people that run countries. How many oppressors oppress their own homes? How many oppressors oppress their wives? How many oppressors oppress their husbands? How many oppressors oppress their children? How many oppressors oppress their neighbors? It all comes under the title of zalim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us never be an oppressor of anyone. May Allah protect our iman, guard our children and our progeny's iman until the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase all good in this masjid and anyone that prays in this masjid and anyone facilitates those things in this masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us all in love of Him and love of the one that He loves, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah increase us in love of Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we ask You to increase us in love of Your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Increase us in knowledge of Your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Increase us in following the sunnah of Your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah increases in all that you love and turn us away from anything you dislike, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts from nifaq. Allah, protect our eyes from anything haram. Allah, give us knowledge that is beneficial. Allah, give us knowledge that is beneficial. Allah, give us knowledge that is beneficial. Make us act upon that knowledge. Make us spread that knowledge, Ya Allah. Allah, make us all of those that will enter Jannah without hisab. May Allah make us of those that will drink from His blessed hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a drink that will never feel thirst after that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those, Ya Allah, make us of those that when we enter our graves, it becomes a garden of Jannah. Allah, protect us from the punishment of the fire, Ya Allah. Allah, protect us from punishment of the fire, Ya Allah. Allah, protect us from punishment in the grave, Ya Allah. Allah, do not test us in this life. Give us well-being. Give us afiyah, Ya Allah. Allah, we are weak. Allah, we turn to you with the only thing we have, which is weakness, Ya Allah. Allah, we are poor. Allah, we are impoverished. Allah, we are in need. Allah, we are in need. Allah, you have told us if we call on you, you will answer. Here we are raising our hands in complete poverty to you, Ya Allah. Allah, here we are raising our hands in complete poverty to you, Ya Allah. Allah, enrich us with true iman, Ya Allah. Allah, alleviate any problems that we are going through, Ya Allah. Allah, protect us from any of the evils of this world and the next world, Ya Allah. Allah, protect us from ourselves. Allah, protect us from ourselves. Allah, protect us from ourselves. Allahumma. We ask you for the good of this world, and we ask for the good of the next world, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you, please, Ya Allah, bless us to see your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us to see him in our dreams, Ya Allah. And he's smiling at us, Ya Allah. Bless us, please, to see our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's smiling at us, Ya Allah. Make us, we're not worthy of that. We're not worthy of that. But you are the Akram al-Akrameen. You are the most generous, Ya Allah. And he is ar-Rahim, ar-Ra'uf. You have named him with your names, Ya Allah. So with your blessing and his mercy, gather us under that, Ya Allah. Gather us under our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mercy, Ya Allah. Make us be a walking mercy like he was a walking mercy, Ya Allah. Make us be of those that spread this deen wherever we may be, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts from any hypocrisy, Ya Allah. Purify our actions from anything displeasing to you, Ya Allah. Make our neighborhoods neighborhoods of light. Make our neighborhoods neighborhoods of light and deen and iman, Ya Allah. Guide all those of our family members that are astray. Guide all those of our family members that are not Muslim, Ya Allah. Make us all die in iman, Ya Allah. Make us all die with the kalima shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us die with that on our tongues and in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive all of us. Alleviate any debts that we may be in. Give shifa, give healing to anyone that's ill, Ya Allah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الله we ask you to accept this dua by our salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the secrets that you've placed in Surah Al-Fatiha.